Clubhouse, a show dedicated to the Chicago baseball fan, featuring the best Chicago baseball conversation, as well as the big MLB topics, along with the biggest names, greatest guests, and listener interaction, starring Score baseball insider Bruce Levine, and half of Chicago's number one sports morning show, David Haw, on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Good Saturday morning, Chicago. Welcome inside the clubhouse. We're broadcasting live through the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. I am David Haw, here with Bruce Levine, talking Chicago baseball. Cubs and the White Sox back in action this week. It has been a great week. We're back in the baseball season, Bruce. And last night, well, I should say earlier this morning in the wee hours, the White Sox get the first victory of the baseball season here in Chicago. The Cubs will look for their first later today when Jake Arrieta returns to the mound at Wrigley Field. There is a lot going on. There is a ton to get to. It is a fun week in Chicago for baseball. Bruce, how are you doing this morning?
Good morning, David. Nothing says baseball like four-hour games, right? I mean, well, it's the beginning of the year.
The White Sox
pitchers are having trouble already.
Yeah.
What's that, David?
It was a crisp 3 hours and 44 minute White Sox victory, not 4 hours. So,
the Cub game was 4 hours on opening day. You know, again, I'm not complaining. I'm thrilled to have baseball back. I'm just saying you need to put that time into it. This is, you know, if people think that we work for a living and we know that we're fortunate to be in the business we're in. There are still hours to be put in, and that is the fun, and it's also the part of it that people just don't generally understand or care about, nor should they. We are fortunate to have these jobs, but it is great to have baseball back. It's great to watch some of the things unfold, like yesterday's game with the White Sox, the heartbreak of the first loss, the fun of yesterday's game, and watching guys who people have never heard of before, like your man Mercedes. Everybody should have.
Yes.
You know what? In every locker room, there should be a Mercedes in every stall.
That would be kind of expensive, but I think that everybody should. The player, the character, the personality.
Oh,
yeah, I get what you mean. Bruce, yeah, you're right. The White Sox, let's start there because we can have plenty of time to pour over the four-hour slog that the Cubs opener was and what they had a day off yesterday. So last night, the White Sox get their first victory 12-8 over the Angels, Joe Maddon's Anaheim Angels, and it was Jermaine Mercedes. Five hits. Only one other player in Major League history has had five hits in his debut, and that happened, Cecil Travis, in 1933. So that was a big moment for the White Sox, 12-8 victory. You had Michael Kopech return and give two strong, impressive innings. You had Jose Abreu, the defending and reigning MVP, with the grand slam. You had Liam Hendricks hold on for his first save. He had to go four outs to get it, and it was a little bit difficult to achieve, but he got it. And Tony La Russa, first victory in a decade back as a White Sox manager. Which of those things that happened with the White Sox victory last night do you think stood out the most to you?
I think a manager getting a win with the same team 35 years apart is most intriguing to me. I mean, that has never happened in baseball history. That will likely never happen again. The fact that a guy starts his career as a manager with the White Sox in 1979, ends it being fired in 86, fired, kicked out, you know, hit the curb. And then 35 years later, you're back winning your first game in 2021. I think that's fascinating. But all the other areas are really good to go. Let's start with Mercedes. I mean, what a great story that is, David.
That it is, and I think that you can't expect things like this to happen. That's the beauty of baseball and sports when you have, you know, stories like this emerging. Guys with Jermaine Mercedes, not only his ability but his personality, it's infectious, the enthusiasm, and that's part of the reason, Bruce, I think he's been able to sustain and persevere. He's a 28-year-old who made his first major league appearance last night, and he started and he hit eighth as a designated hitter. He had played in 617 minor league games. He had been in 2,128 minor league at-bats. He's the third catcher on this roster. And last night, he had five hits. And you know what? Three of them came with two strikes, so it showed some good plate discipline. I don't know where this is headed, Bruce. He's 5 feet 11. He's 245 pounds. He doesn't look like
you're being kind
major league hitter. But you never know if he could catch lightning in a bottle. I think he deserves another start. I think he deserves a second start in a row, even though Tony wants to get everybody in the lineup. Don't you think that's the least they could do for him?
He ain't sitting tonight, I'll tell you that much. He's going to play today after five hits. And a slight correction, his first start in the big leagues, he had a pinch hit last year in 2020. He was a pinch hitter. So his first major league start was yesterday. And what a debut, as you said, David, it was with those five hits. And just the way, as you described, the way he went about it, you know, three of them being two strikes and just not trying to do too much with it. You know, again, he's been in professional baseball for 10 years. He's been with the White Sox organization now for 4 years. And really up until last year where he came up for, you know, pinch hitter and as a pinch hitter and played a little bit in spring training, we had never heard of the guy, honestly. None, hardly anyone ever did. But, you know, a journeyman catcher who'd been in all kinds of different professional baseball elements before landing with the White Sox organization. And now the talk of baseball the day after he makes his first start, it's pretty remarkable. And the fact that he's made some great strides as a catcher as well, it's probably pretty well unknown. Most people are going to be talking about his hitting prowess, but both him and Zach Collins learned an awful lot this spring under new catching coach Jerry Nairn, one of our guests, about 6 weeks ago. And the fact that he will be catching as well as hitting for the White Sox probably is a surprise to some people.
312-644-6767. Let us know what you think. Are you surprised that Yermín Mercedes is a topic of conversation the morning after his first start in Major League in his Major League career? What did you think of the White Sox going to Michael Kopech when they did and how he responded to that? What else stood out in your first couple games in Chicago baseball? Let us know your thoughts, our opinions. And Bruce, I love the Mercedes story, and I think that it's going to be fun to see where that goes as the third catcher on this team. You know, I was a little surprised that they cut loose Jonathan LaCroix. They kept Zach Collins. They kept Mercedes. But I think the sustainable element last night, the thing that to me stood out as much as anything, as much fun as the La Russa return was and as much fun as the Mercedes emergence is, Michael Kopech looking like the pitcher that he has been described as. And after not appearing in a game since September of 2018, after all of the injury issues, after all of the opt-outs last year, that was impressive.
Well, when you strike out the best player in baseball and make him look bad doing it, and striking out Trout, it was pretty cool to watch. It really was. And he was just blowing the fastball, but he also had command of breaking pitches, which he was working hard on during spring training. And the last time out in spring training, it wasn't very efficient with the breaking ball. But the ball was just exploding out there. And the thing, David, that really stood out to me was that he had a lot of composure on the mound, okay?
Right.
This was not it didn't look like a young pitcher anymore. It didn't look like a guy that was just ready to explode and can't wait until he throws the next fastball. This was a guy under control. His mechanics were really good. It was smooth, it was efficient, and it was explosive. I thought that was, as you just point out, David, as you just pointed this out, the big tell of last night was Kopech and being able to bridge games two or three times a week would be a really important part of the White Sox pitching dynamic in 2021.
he was in command. And I think really the curiosity almost starts now, Bruce. He has returned, and now we saw him pitch two innings. And now how do they handle him in terms of rest and the next time you use him, how much time does he need to bounce back? Because this is what he did. He pitched a perfect sixth. He pitched a perfect seventh. He threw 33 pitches, 21 for strikes. He hit 99 on the radar gun. He threw 10 sliders. And this was a guy that I thought, I was a little surprised he came back out to open the eighth when he walked Trout, Bruce. But mm-hmm. I understand that, you know, he was so good. Maybe they were tempted to see what more they could get out of him. You got to be real conservative when it comes to Michael Kopech. But what you saw was just a glimpse of what he's capable of.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to see more than a couple times a week, honestly. Okay. You know, you always keep in mind, and people are tired of hearing it, but he hasn't pitched professionally since 2018, okay? So 2 years plus that he hasn't pitched. And they are going to watch that arm and make sure that they build him up properly. You're not going to see him going back-to-back. That's not going to happen. And they'll stretch him out. He will throw two or three innings and bridge games, and that is the plan from the very beginning of spring training for Michael Kopech. He's in on it. La Russa is in on it. The pitching people and the front office are in on it. So this is how it's going to be dealt with. But I don't think you'll see him more than twice a week. I think every 3 days, bridging a game if they need it, will be the role for Kopech.
Bruce, what was your level of surprise when we saw Liam Hendricks come into the eighth? He pitched an inning and a third. Not terribly sharp, I guess. Two strikeouts, two runs allowed. Ohtani took him deep in the ninth. It was a little bit of a surprise to me to see him come into the eighth inning. But this is, you know, a guy that wants to be used, and he wants to be used a lot. It seemed like a little bit of a stretch for the second game of the season to see him in that way. But at the same time, I don't think that will be the norm. Liam Hendricks gets his first White Sox save. Probably not the way he envisioned it, but it's a save nonetheless.
David, are you on La Russa already?
No, I'm not on La Russa. No, that was after the opener when he batted Adam Eaton second instead of
Okay, we'll get,
yeah.
we'll get to that. We'll get to the stolen base that was a stolen base that wasn't a stolen base with Madrigal as well. But I think that there is a tendency to try to get Hendricks going quicker. You know, he missed about a week because trying to pass a stone, you know, a kidney stone. Mm-hmm. So from all of that, he's probably not right where he needs to be. But this is a guy that wants to be in there. He wants to be throwing in two innings. He wants to throw multiple innings if they let him, which they won't. But I thought it was interesting, the usage of him. And I think it's going to be debated, you know, whether or not they're going to use him for more than one inning, considering the pitchers they have. But look at how much they had to use their bullpen in two games, David. I mean, we were talking about a loaded bullpen where right. La Russa can go, and certainly he did. You know, what was done yesterday was, you had a bridge a game where you're starting through more than four innings. I mean, it was, it was a bad start. It was not an efficient start for Keuchel. So, your bullpen's pretty much used up in two games, right? No matter how good it is, they have all pitched already, and use your choice for this third game. Remember, they have 19 games in 20 days. That's an incredible load that they're going to have to face. It's very uncommon at the beginning of a season, David, for a team to have that many games in a row. If you consider the Cubs in the first 3 weeks have three games off, in the first month they have four games off. So that is a heavy load for the bullpen to have to carry to begin the season.
You're going to get more out of Dallas Keuchel than four innings next time. I mean, you just have to think that. That was just the kind of things you have to endure in an opener. Lance Lynn goes tonight against Alex Cobb. You think Lance Lynn's going to be the workhorse of this White Sox rotation? You figure he'll go deep into games the way Lucas Giolito did in the opener. I'm not terribly concerned about the overuse of the bullpen, Bruce. I think you're going to have consistency out of that rotation. Meanwhile, for the Cubs, we get to see Jake Arrieta for the first time in a while, in several years, in a Cubs uniform. Jake Arrieta back for the Cubs, wearing the familiar 49 against Tyler Anderson at Wrigley Field later today. Bruce, the opener for the Cubs nothing but a disappointment. It was a long day. It was a four-hour slog. They struck out 13 times. They gave up 11 walks. They only got two hits. So it's up to Jake Arrieta to kind of change the mood at Wrigley Field and give the Cubs the give the Cubs that season opening victory that we have been waiting for.
David, you're right. It was like a trip to the dentist opening day, wasn't it? I mean, it was just, it was long and hard on Cub fans. 4 hours, two hits the whole day by the team, and you know, a disappointing start for Hendricks for sure. But nonetheless, the first week or the first 2 weeks of baseball season, we all have a tendency, I believe, to look at it kind of like the NFL. You know, like each game has such great importance. And then we sit back and we figure out after a week or 10 days, hey, we got 6 months here of baseball every single day, okay? 162 games. And we the fan of the game, kind of get into our swerve as far as understanding the pacing. Initially, it's like everything is life and death, you know, with, you know, you lose the first game. Oh, geez, team's not going to be very good this year. No, that's really, we might visit that around Memorial Day for the first time to find out if the team's going to be any good after we see the first 2 months of the season, which will be the equal to what we saw all of last year.
So you're right, Bruce, you're making sense, but it's fun to overreact to opening day. I mean, that's kind of like a baseball tradition, right? It's like you see something that you don't like, and you're like, oh my gosh, it's going to be like that all season. Or you see something like Mercedes that you do like, five hits in his first major league start, and you're like, oh, well, maybe he could be the DH.
Yeah. I mean, you're right, David. It is fun to get into that. I'll never forget 94 when the Cubs opened up against the Mets and Doc Gooden. And Tuffy Rhodes hits three home runs. And, you know, people in the media, everybody, you know, Tuffy Rhodes, you know, is he going to hit 60 home runs this year? He ended up hitting, like, I think, eight home runs for the season.
He ended up with eight. Three of the eight came in the first day of the year.
I know. And his, his 57 home runs came in Japan a few years later when he was no longer playing Major League Baseball. But, I mean, that's the great drama of opening day. Carlton Fisk in his first appearance with the White Sox after leaving Boston, beating Boston with a home run. I mean, though, opening day is special, and you can't take that away from baseball fans. But, you know, the rhythm of the game eventually gets around to, oh, yeah, we got plenty of games left to worry about it.
Bruce, let's squeeze in a caller before we take our first break. Let's go out to the Score listener line powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Mike is in Glencoe. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Good morning, guys. And Bruce, knowing what we have in Mercedes, how does La Russa, who seems to be used, like to use his whole bench, how does La Russa use Mercedes going forward to avoid him being exposed and to limit the ability of opposing pitchers to bear down on his weaknesses? How can we best use Mercedes going forward as a productive bat?
Well, I think, you know, thanks for the question. David, I think he's going to be used as a third catcher. I think he's going to catch some. And I think, you know, there's a possibility that, you know, the DH role, depending on how Vaughn takes to left field, how often they want to use him, will be rotated between Collins, between Mercedes, between Vaughn, occasional rest for Breu. Certainly Grandal will be used in that role when he's not catching, and certainly you don't want him to catch more than 110, 115 games tops. Now that you have two other catching options, you can take the load off of a veteran catcher. So there's a lot of ways that Tony La Russa can go. Let's see if Mercedes can sustain this over periods of time. I mean, he's always been a good minor league hitter, David.
Yep.
But, you know, when you see 10 years down the road a guy make it, you don't want to jump, you know, you don't want to jump the gun and say this guy's made and he's a future all-star. You want to watch it kind of evolve as it goes.
Just savor the moment, enjoy the possibilities. It is only one day, but hey, it was a fun one at that. Bruce, we've got a big show ahead. We've got Ryan Dempster. When we come back, we've got Rick Giolito, the father of the White Sox ace, Lucas Giolito, in the second hour. We've got your phone calls, 312-644-6767. Reminder to everyone who uses FanDuel, today is your last day to take advantage of mobile registration. You want to get out there. You want to make sure that you register and verify your account. Even if you're not going to place a bet today, get it done before you have to drive to the brick-and-mortar location to register. It takes just a couple minutes. You don't have to place a bet. You just want to take care of it now. It beats your long drive for your ability to make a bet down the road. So FanDuel customers, make sure you take advantage of mobile registration. When we come back, Ryan Dempster from the Marquee Sports Network will talk to us about the Cubs, about Jake Arrieta, about what's ahead for the North Side here on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Cubs down to their last strike as Hayward swings and misses, and this ball game is over.
That was Pat Hughes from the Cubs opener. The Cubs play later today. Jake Arrieta at Wrigley Field makes his return. Bruce, before we get to Ryan Dempster, let's go out to the Score listener line powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Don, good morning, Don. Welcome to Inside the Clubhouse.
Good morning, guys. Love the show. I've been listening for years. I don't miss a Saturday. I completely love the show.
Thank you.
Hey,
thank
I got
you.
A question. I got a question about Chris Bryant. I watched all the games in spring training, and he either looks completely lost or unconfident or injured. There's something wrong with him, and I was just wondering, is his confidence down? Is he still injured? What's the scoop with him? He looks horrible.
Bruce?
It's been a rough road for Chris Bryant over the last 3 years with injuries. You hate to make excuses for players who go out there and play injured, but you must, because they do not shirk their responsibility. They go out and they play hurt. And the end result isn't always very good. So you're kind of stuck in the middle, David, when it comes to players that are hurt. If they don't play, they call them names, right? And they're not very favorable. They're not nice names. If they play hurt and they're lousy, then they stink and they want to know why. This is a huge year for Chris Bryant, not because he's a free agent with the Chicago Cubs. He needs to prove to himself and everybody else in Major League Baseball that he is still Chris Bryant, the guy that was a Rookie of the Year, the guy that was an MVP, the guy that was counted on to hit 280 to 290, hit 30 home runs, and drive in 100. Driving 100 is not close over the last 4 years. Some of that was because of where he batted in the lineup, batting two in the Joe Maddon order. Others were just that he wasn't efficient with men on base. So this is a huge year for Chris Bryant. Forget about Chris Bryant as a Cub. This is a big year for him to show himself and everybody else he can play, he can be healthy, and he can have a productive season.
The Chris Bryant that became the MVP wouldn't have missed the pitches he missed in the first his first at-bat on opening day. I think that Ron Kroemer alluded to that. We talked to him yesterday on the Mullen Haw show. That will come. I mean, there were a lot of things you could point to on opening day that weren't ideal, were less than ideal conditions. It's early in the season. But you're exactly right. I mean, it's a case of when you see Chris Bryant, you expect more. Why? Because he has raised those expectations, and he has the ability to make you think that he can be the kind of player that he was, Bruce. And that is why this is such a big season for him. And certainly it is a big season for the Cubs, and they need to get a victory. And that process is in the hands of Jake Arrieta later today, and we are pleased to welcome into the Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park on North Avenue hotline our next guest, Bruce, where he could relate to what Jake Arrieta must be feeling today and what Kyle Hendricks went through on opening day.
The one and only RD, that's how I know him, but you all know him as Ryan Dempster, joins us on Inside the Clubhouse. Nice enough to take some time on a Saturday morning to join us. Demp, what's up? How are you?
Good morning, Ryan.
Hey, Bruce. Hey, guys. Hey, Dave. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Well, we might as well jump right into where we left off with our caller, and that is, how do you look at this season for Bryant from the lens of a former top pitcher and player? How do you look at Chris Bryant and what his journey needs to be?
Yeah, well, I, you know, hey, man, 2020 was an anomaly and a really, really weird year for everybody. And, you know, for Chris, I thought he had a really, really strong 2019. And then, you know, you have this year where not only is there a pandemic going on, you become a father, so you take all those things into effect and all that stuff. And it was just an off year. And I think, you know, going into a free agent year, a lot of players thrive in those moments. It's a chance to go out there and reprove yourself and also just, you know, really open eyes across the league. So I expect him to have a big year. He's done everything, man. You look at it across the board, college player of the year, you know, top draft pick, minor league player of the year, rookie of the year, MVP, World Series. I mean, he's just continued to have done it all. So the bar is set extremely high, and all the while moving from position to position at times and finally settling in at third base. And he's just such a great kid and, you know, a hard worker. And I think he's going to.
So I think we still have Ryan. Maybe we lost him. But I think that he makes some good points about Chris Bryant, Bruce. And I'm curious to see, you know, Ryan, do we have you back? We must have lost him. Hope he's okay. You got to be patient with – there he is. Okay, great. Ryan, appreciate the perspective, and I hope we got you back. Can you help us relate to what Kyle Hendricks went through on opening day? I know the conditions probably to somebody who grew up in Canada were balmy, but I think
ideal for a Canadian.
Yeah, but probably not for starting pitchers in Chicago. I don't want to put all of that on why Kyle Hendricks looked a little bit uncharacteristic for him in the walks that we saw leadoff hitters. But how do you describe what he went through and what would you attribute most of it to?
Yeah, I think just, you know, a combination of things. Sometimes, you know, you leave Arizona to perfect conditions to come into, you know, something like that. And Kyle is, as we know, is one who's never going to make excuses for anything, right? Everybody's pitching in that weather. Everybody's playing in it. So it doesn't matter. You know, nobody wants to hear that. You want to go out there and get it done. And he just lacks fastball command. You know, aside from the changeup that ran back over to Hayes for the homer, it was just, you know, trying to throw the ball down and away, and he was yanking it to the middle. And whether that's feel or grip, you know, he's not going to make those excuses, and that's why he is a pro and the pro that he is. So, but, you know, he'll bounce back just fine. Let's face it, it was cold. It was, you know, and what happens, right, is on top of that, it just becomes, like, contagious. So now the hitters are sitting there out on the field, and they're kind of, like, waiting through it all. They're freezing. Now they come up to hit, and they've been out in the cold weather waiting around. Nothing gets fluid, and so then it's hard to get into a rhythm, and he just looked like he was just fighting himself, you know, from the get-go. He talked about that. And, it's just one game, and he'll be back, and he'll be just fine.
Ryan, when you look at the Chicago Cubs, what do you think the top story, what would be the headline for Ryan Dempster of what the Cubs are out there to try to do in 2021? There's so much up in the air with the idea of, you know, the top players becoming free agents, not being able to sign long-term deals. You have I think 13 guys can be free agents off of the 26-man roster. What would you say the headline would be for you going into the season?
Yeah, I think for the team is just don't focus on all that stuff. Control what you can control. You know, there's going to be so much talk about that all year. Extensions, who's free agents, who's this, who's that. Just worry about going out and trying to win ball games. All that stuff takes care of itself. When you win, everybody wants you. You know, your own team wants you, things like that. So I just think it's one of those things where you gotta block out all the outside noise. And, you know, there's the old saying, Sparky Anderson once said, you know, you give me 25 guys on a one-year contract, I'll take you to the World Series. And that kind of plays true. When you got a bunch of guys who are motivated by the, you know, the finances of the game for whatever reason, and then you combine that with a manager who really, really loves to win and knows how to win and motivates those guys from that perspective, those things can collide to be really, really great things. It could be, you know, a chance to do something really special again. So I just think you just really day-to-day just control what you control. Don't listen to all the outside noise and just focus on playing baseball and winning games. They're proven winners. They got a lot of guys. They got some guys who need to bounce back and have better years, but I think that can go across the whole entire league given what happened last year.
Ryan, when Jake Arrieta goes to the mound later today at Wrigley Field,
it
probably will conjure up a lot of emotions within him, a lot of great memories for Cubs fans. A lot of things will look familiar. A lot of things will look alike. He's the old number 49 and just the strut and all those things. How is he alike and how is he different from the pitcher that he was the last time we saw him in a Cub uniform?
Yeah, well, you know, the difference is that stuff-wise, when we say stuff, it's, you know, the velocity on the fastball and the bite on the breaking ball isn't what we are accustomed to seeing. But what we saw in 2015, you know, I mean, that's video game stuff. That's stuff that comes around once, you know, once every 10 years out of a pitcher. So it probably even longer, to be honest with you. So I think, you know, that obviously isn't the same, but the demeanor is the same. And on top of it, he's gained experience, you know. And last year, he finally had a nice, you know, clean arm. He got that elbow cleaned out, the bone shift's taken out. It was feeling good, and then he hurts his hamstring. So I think you actually will see a little bit of an uptick from what we saw last couple years with Jake as far as velocity and crispness on his pitches. And then he just has – he has experience. He has moxie. He has, you know, demeanor out there of a leader, and it's so great to have in the rotation, and as the other guys benefit from it. He's a stud, and I know he's not the stud that won the Cy Young, but he's still capable every single time it's his day to pitch to go out there and beat another team, and that's just the facts. And you know, I just can't wait to see him back out on the mound today, and just super thrilled that he's back in a Cub uniform.
Ryan Dempster from Marquee Sports Network and MLB Network joining us on Inside the Clubhouse for a few more minutes. Ryan, when you look at Craig Kimbrel, and you know, you were a successful starter, you were a successful bullpen guy and closer, trying to find who you are again on a baseball field after starting off your career with 11 Hall of Fame seasons and then the last three being marginal years for Kimbrel, how difficult is it to find that feeling about who you are and what you want to represent body language-wise and in your mind before you even throw a pitch off of the mound?
Yeah, and it definitely took some time, right? Like, you look at him in 2018 with the Red Sox, there was, you know, a lot of rumors or talks about people knowing what he was throwing, tipping his pitches, so teams started to have some success, and then you start to have some doubt. And then, you know, to come back halfway through a year, I just never have thought that that's a very good remedy for success when you have somebody who misses half a year, and especially in that role, you're always trying to find it. And then last year was kind of hit and miss, but I'll tell you what, he sure did finish strong. He finished great. And that's kudos to Tommy and to David Ross, to always constantly having that belief in him. So I just think that it's, you know, it's super, super important that, you know, he had that. And I think he's just, I think he's going to be really, really good this year. And I think that's a benefit to what David did with him last year, the constant belief in him. And I think he'll be just fine.
Ryan, in your career, you probably dealt with all sorts of different scenarios in terms of contractual status and trade rumors and a lot of things that we alluded to earlier swirling around. And Anthony Rizzo this week, I thought, had a really, really honest moment with the Chicago media and talking about where he is in terms of his contract negotiations. He wanted to stop it, the negotiations on opening day. And I think everyone respects that. How hard is it for players like Rizzo, like Baez, like Bryant to kind of compartmentalize everything and kind of block the noise out, not worry about what the future holds, the uncertainty that represents, and just focus on the present?
Yeah, it's tough at times, man. You're human. But at the same time, they're pros. They've had to do that with other things throughout their life. You know, you got to just focus as much as you can on the task at hand. And Anthony's he's been through a lot in life. The worries of a free agent contract, I think, are probably minimal compared to other things he's had to overcome. He's just going to worry about going out there and just taking care of business. He knows that if he does that, there's going to be teams that want him. And you know what? One of the teams that wants him is the Cubs. They want him back. And it's just a matter of, you know, that working out. Whether or not that happens during the year or after the year, I don't know. But
he's very, very good at handling all those things and all those guys. And there'll be moments, I'm sure, there'll be moments when you're struggling and all of a sudden you're like, man, should I have taken a deal? And then there's moments when you're doing really great going, man, I'm glad I didn't take that deal. So there's just always going to be that battle as players that you have to kind of work through. But that's why they're professional athletes, because they should be able to handle those things. They have the tools in place. They have the people in place, sports psychologists that help them. It's just about living in the moment. That's the God's honest truth. When you just take it pitch by pitch and play in the moment, it finds itself to work out. It really does. Or not work out, because it just is what it is. You got to go out there and just and take care of business. And for Anthony, you know, he wants to be a Cub for life. He should be a Cub for life. I hope he is a Cub for life. But he also is very, very good at understanding about just being him. He's not going to change. He's not going to have a pouty face. He's not going to walk around, you know, with his head down because it's not working out right now. He's just going to go out there and be a leader and take care of business on the field. And then it will all just find itself in the right place of where it needs to be when it's all said and done.
Demp, in closing with you, and David and I surely always appreciate your participation and enjoy each time you're with us. I wonder if you can explain the dilemma for a player who has already made $70 million and knows that he and his family and his descendants are all taken care of for the next 100 years, goes in there with a philosophy of, I have to be still respected for the amount of money that's offered. So, you know, in the case of Rizzo or somebody like that, who gets a five-year contract, but the money isn't up to where other star players' money is at, how the function of getting the respectful amount, keeping the money high for other players that come after you, and also representing the needs of you and your family and where you want to play, all in one little ball.
The hardest thing for people to understand, sometimes even us included as players, is try to make sense of the dollars you can, right? Like, it doesn't make sense that somebody should be making $35 million, $40 million a year to play baseball. That doesn't compute. That's not right. It's a game, you know, but that's the reality. That's the market, and that's where we're at. So just like anybody, if you all of a sudden they're like, hey, Bruce, we really want you back here at Score. We really want you to be here, but we're going to give you, like, half of what somebody else doing the same job is doing. But it's still good money,
oh,
right?
Oh, you've been listening to my negotiations with
I am.
Mitchell.
Yeah, so I hope your bosses are paying attention to this. At the end of the day, that's, no matter what job you're in, that person is going to feel the same way. They're going to be like, well, wait, why am I not getting at least what I'm due? I don't need to be making the top dollar. And so that's what happens. But when we see the gigantic numbers, we're like, how can you not take that? It's this and this and this. It's not even about the money. It just becomes about just the respect of your job that you worked really hard. And for Anthony, too, he already took one team-friendly deal, a very, very team-friendly deal, and he's performed that to every bit. So, you know, we can't make sense of it because it's so much money, and I think sometimes that's all it just comes down to. And I think teams understand that, and they're just at this place right now that I'm sure that, you know, cooler heads will prevail and they'll find something and get it done.
Great stuff, Ryan. Appreciate the time. Enjoy today, and keep up the good work on the Marquee Sports Network.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Dan.
Ryan Dempster, former Cub pitcher, now Cub analyst on the Marquee Sports Network. Bruce, good stuff. We will get to kind of what he said about Anthony Rizzo, kind of what he said about the Cubs' slow start to at least in one game into this season. We'll talk about that. What concerns you? 312-644-6767. What are your thoughts on the Cubs? Then we'll get back to the White Sox in the second hour here on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Here comes the 2-2. Swung on and missed. Strike three. Two away.
Now, Jake with a sinker. This is fastball. It's in the middle of the plate, and it starts out about knee high, and the bottom drops out of it. And Robert swings right over the top of it, one of the highest.
Welcome back to Inside the Clubhouse here, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. David Haw with Bruce Levine until 11 o'clock. That was the Score broadcast of a Jake Arrieta strikeout of Luis Robert during spring training. Bruce, and we have the Score back with the Cubs today, pregame 12:45 with Zach, and he will be talking about the expectations for Jake Arrieta making his return to Wrigley Field. A lot of excitement surrounding that return, Bruce. The good old number 49 conjure up a lot of emotions, as we discussed. What are realistic expectations for Jake Arrieta? Not so much today, perhaps. It's the first start. There might be some emotions to funnel and to channel. But this season, what are the Cubs expecting out of Jake Arrieta?
30 starts, 160 innings. I think if they get that, they're going to be happy. I think the numbers will be good. I don't think you'll ever see the Jake Arrieta of old, but this is a different version that we've got to watch a little bit in spring training here. First of all, health is a key for him. He has really not been healthy the last 3 years when he was in Philadelphia. If he retains his health and he looks like he's in great shape, this version should be a 13-11, 3.8 ERA type guy. I think if he can do that, make 30 starts, that'll be a very successful year for the Cubs and Arrieta. Just at this point, the innings, you know, if you can average close to six, I mean, it's such a different era now, David, you know, where we used to talk about the best pitchers, the Sales, the Verlanders, the Scherzers were averaging seven innings, okay? If they average seven for 33 starts, you know, that's 220 innings. That's huge in today's baseball. That's not going to happen very much anymore, especially probably in 2021. So from the perspective of 160 innings, do you dare say 170 that you want from him? That would be a good, successful year, I think.
I think the key number that you said in terms of your projection or prediction would be 30 starts, because if you can, regardless of the innings, you can never predict whether it's going to be one day four innings like Dallas Keuchel gave the Sox last night, or maybe he's going to be stretched into the seventh or the eighth, perhaps on the rare occasion. But if you can count on him to stay healthy enough and consistent enough to take the mound every fifth day 30 times, that allows you to build everything else maybe from there. That's how you get consistency in your approach. Now, you don't want five guys making 30 starts and they're all mediocre. But if you get 30 starts out of Jake Arrieta, the expectation is that, number one, he will be healthy. And the thought is, if he's healthy, then he will be effective, because that is the guy that you're used to seeing. Now, he's not going to be the dominant version of Jake Arrieta circa 2016 and 17 and certainly 2015. But he can be effective. And, Bruce, I wonder, though, is he the Cubs' number two starter in designation because of the difference in style and you put him between Hendricks and Davies, or is he the number two pitcher in this rotation because of what he's capable of achieving this year?
Well, Davies is a better pitcher. I mean, he's the most consistent pitcher. His numbers were actually better than Kyle Hendricks last year. And Hendricks had a superior year, even though the numbers, you know, because it was only 12 or 13 starts and you're 6-5, it's an ERA under 3. Same for Davies, who won one more game in an ERA a little lower than Hendricks. This is an accomplished pitcher, a really good pitcher. But because it's not sexy, it's not a duplication. It's a duplication of, you know, kind of Hendricks light. I don't think he's getting the respect he deserves. He's the number two pitcher on this team. I think you hit it on the nose. You know, separating him with Arrieta, who gives you a different look, and then maybe a reset all the way around if indeed you have, you know, the whole staff pitching the way that they need to. If Alzolay becomes a 5-6 inning pitcher on a regular basis, and God, it sounds strange to say that, doesn't it, David? You know, that you're looking for a good five from a guy that's only averaged 4 innings
in his minor league career the last few years.
I know. I know, because, well, you have the extended bullpens. It's a different game. You got, every team has 8 bullpen guys. Some of them have 9. So from that perspective, I guess it's fine to say that. But with his stuff and the fact that he can hit 95, 96 on a regular basis, then you might change the whole look of the rotation as far as 1-5 and who starts on what days.
Difference between the Cubs and the White Sox, though, Bruce, one of many is that with the Cubs, if you get to the 6th inning, you turn it over to the bullpen, you sort of start biting your fingernails, whereas the White Sox, you get to the 6th inning and you're supposed to exhale. That is the the way that this team has been structured. Aaron Bummer said, as the other famously in spring training, that they didn't want to lose a game if they had a lead after the sixth inning. Now, ironically enough, that happened on opening night, but we're going to move past that. But that is the way that these teams have been structured a little bit differently. Okay, we are going to get into our second hour, Bruce. We've got a lot ahead. Rick Giolito is going to join us at 10:30. We're going to talk about the White Sox getting their first victory last night with the Yerminator coming through with five hits. But also, a lot going on around baseball. A lot of your conversation with people around the league. I want to get into that and also your opinions. 312-644-6767. Let us know what you think of the return of baseball opening day week here in Chicago and around the league. Here on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.